Jon Stewart hosted The Daily Show on Comedy Central, owned by CBS parent company Paramount Skydance.
We have another fun, hilarious, administration-compliant show.
With compliant monologues, like Jimmy Fallon's on NBC's Tonight Show.
Well, guys, President Trump just wrapped up his three-day trip to the UK, and he
looked incredibly handsome.
And Seth Meyers continued the compliments on Late Night, calling the president
a great president, an even better golfer.
Stephen Colbert on CBS made sure
we still on the air,
but noted FCC Chair Brendan Carr hadn't seen the episode yet. Carr told Fox yesterday,
I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. Those of us who were around on 9/11 remember that sense for days and weeks and even months afterward of, when are we supposed to start laughing again? The late night hosts of 2025 had their answer ready for when it was okay to get back to business, following the suspension of their colleague Jimmy Kimmel for remarks he made in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder, by not missing a beat. But that's just a small snapshot of moving on in the wake of Kirk's death and Kimmel's suspension, because there are many, many lingering issues about the First Amendment and free speech, and that's what we're focusing on today. Here's KCBS in the Bay Area with more.
We explore the social and cultural consequences of cancel culture as Jimmy Kimmel's television future hangs in the balance.
ABC suspended his late night show following the host's comments about Charlie Kirk's killing. This is what President Trump had to say today from England about the show and its suspension.
Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else, and he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk.
That horrible thing that the president characterizes was this quote: "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. To talk about this and more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Jeff Jarvis, media commentator and journalism professor. He blogs about media and news at buzzmachine.com. And Jeff, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what were your thoughts when you heard about the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel's show?
I was appalled, and I think we've come to the end of a line for the entirety of mass media. I think that we can see in this country that most newspaper chains are owned by hedge funds. The Chronicle is an exception, I'm glad to say. Broadcast TV is, the audience is geriatric. Cable is being sloughed off by their companies. And in the midst of all this, we see a consolidation happening in which Larry and David Ellison, father and son, have not only taken over the combination of Paramount and Viacom CBS, but are now allegedly talking about trying to take over Warner Brothers Discovery, which would give them the control of CNN. At the same time, we see that CBS, to get the deal to happen, paid a $15 million blackmail to Trump. ABC, to get the trouble off its back, paid a similar blackmail to Trump. And now ABC is suspending Jimmy Kimmel. On top of all of this, the Ellisons are now, by all accounts, going to take over TikTok alongside Mark Andreessen. This is an incredible consolidation of power in our media. But at the same time, the old media, I hate to tell you because we're on it right now, are dying. The world has been taken over by the internet and new platforms. And I think that's where we're going to hear the future of both media and dissent in this country.
How does the role, you mentioned, you know, Nexstar and some of the other things that have happened, the role of the major station ownership groups like Nexstar, Sinclair, influence the content that's broadcast across the country?
Well, the right wing has been very clever in taking over institutions from bottom up. We've seen them come in and take over school boards and town boards. And they've done the same with local broadcasting, where Nexstar is a very conservative company. They're going to take over Tegna. That's part of the reason that they complained about Jimmy Kimmel, so they can curry the favor of FCC Chairman Brendan Carr. Then we have Sinclair, which is an extremely conservative company, which is in charge of, owns more local stations. And they also took Kimmel off the air and said that they're going to broadcast a tribute to Charlie Kirk in its place and demand that Jimmy Kimmel make a personal apology to the family and pay for Charlie Kirk's organization. It's all a bit of a game on the far right where they infiltrated local media, took it over emergently from the bottom up, and now we're screwed.
Yeah, that was pretty succinct there, Jeff, at the end. What's the history of controversial statements by different entertainers and the reaction to them? I know the Smothers Brothers back in the 60s were considered to be subversive, and they were always threats to them. We're seeing that sort of play out now.
Right. We also have what the FCC did to Howard Stern, driving him off broadcast radio, and I think you probably agree, having an impact on the business as a whole. I long have regretted that a slice was cut out of the First Amendment for broadcast. Because of the moral panic around the new technology of radio and later TV, it was decided that the government should have a role in speech when it comes to the airwaves. A, because the people own the airwaves. B, because broadcast was seen as a nefarious technology invading our homes, as you do every day, right? It gave the FCC power over speech, which is exactly contrary to the First Amendment. But that's the precedent. That's where we are. Brendan Carr, the chair of the FCC, was on CNBC this morning saying, well, Jimmy Kimmel is no Johnny Carson. Who made him critic in chief? Who gave him the authority to decide on content? Well, unfortunately, Congress did when they created the radio and then federal communications commissions.
And as you mentioned, you know, we are different. We are licensed, and you know, we're broadcast television and radio that are licensed. We have we serve the public's interest, and you know that is open to, you know, definition. I wanted to ask you, in this case of Kimmel, is this cancel culture, or is it a network responding to pressure from its affiliate stations and a government regulator?
Oh, let's not be naive about what's happening here. The pressure from Trump directly and Trump's agents is their form of cancel culture. It is censorship because it comes from government and the pressure that exists there. This was not a business decision involving the affiliates. This was a political decision because of the pressure put on ABC Disney.
Yeah, and we're seeing this in you know, legacy media that we have grown to trust, the Times, the Post, CBS. I grew up, you know, watching Mike Wallace hold people accountable and feet to the fire and things like that, and you just don't see that anymore.
I hate to tell you, but those days are long over, and it comes from all sides. I'm very disappointed in the New York Times. They're not covering the key story of our time, which is the fall of America into fascism. The Washington Post has fallen on awful times. They just fired their only remaining black full-time columnist because she dared to quote Charlie Kirk about black women. All she did was quote him. We're seeing CBS, all they did was edit an interview with Kamala Harris. They edit all interviews. They're not live. But that resulted in this bogus suit and then in the settlement that was made so that their merger could go through. The head of 60 Minutes resigned as a result. Barry Weiss, who is a quote-unquote heterodox, that is to say right-wing substacker, is allegedly being brought into CBS at a high level. This is pretty frightening of an ideological takeover of what's left of mass media. So, yeah, I'm afraid that we can't go anymore to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And by the way, the New York Times is getting attacked from both sides. Trump is suing them for $15 billion in a ridiculous suit. And all of this shows, look at the fact that ABC paid Trump $15 million. Cannot they learn that once you pay him off, all he does is come back and demand more? If you're Columbia University, if you're a law firm, if you're a network, it does you no good to be conciliatory, except you ruin your own trust so that you ask the question you just asked. Can we still trust CBS News? I would say no. If you're a staffer on, and I know you're separate from CBS now, if you're a staffer on 60 Minutes and you're suddenly told not to report a story the way you think is journalistically correct, what do you do? These are going to be tough questions coming up for our fellow journalists in these institutions.
Yeah.
And big old media is doomed.
Well, you're so dark. You're so dark.
Sorry,
It's good to hear. I'm open. I'm all ears. For so much of this, you're talking about the news, but with Kimmel, this is a comedian. Mm-hmm. This is a comedian. This guy is an entertainer. It's different than journalism. I mean, he's a commentator. There's humor involved, although with that statement, it wasn't humorous. Although Eric and I were talking earlier, there have been times where the culture of late night, people do make commentary. I mean, things were very somber after 9/11, and this exercise with Kimmel was somber with this quote. But how does this incident compare to the previous controversies involving the late night hosts and political commentary? Does it suggest a new, more aggressive approach?
I think you raised such an important point, because humor, comedy, is both the first and last resort of dissent. It was a safe territory. Even Brendan Carr of the FCC said some years ago that, satire is safe. Satire is part of what you need. Now he's going after satire. The argument's being made that late night's a bad business. But if late night were a bad business, Colbert and Kimmel would have been canceled long ago. This was not a business decision in either case. It was a political decision based on pressure from the government. That alone is frightening. So comedians are now fair game. They're even going to go after Jimmy. Trump went after Jimmy Fallon. Jeez, you can't find a more anodyne, safe comedian in the world than Jimmy Fallon. But even he is now on the chopping block. And comedy is seen as a dangerous activity. Somebody on my social feeds just put up a headline from the New York Times back in the day that Goebbels was unamused by Aryan, and they made the point of saying this, performers, and were canceled. This is where this is headed.
You sort of touched on this earlier, but is now dissent going to be only in podcasts and in independent media?
Yes, I think so. And one of the places where I think we could have seen and now do see dissent and do see comedy and argument is TikTok. But that's being taken over by the deal that Trump did with his own people. That is to say, the Ellisons and Andreessen. That's frightening. YouTube is right now a safe harbor, I would say, for free speech. But it's owned by Google, and Google is constantly pressured by the government. They're under another antitrust suit now. And I hope they stand firm, but they're a company. I think that the lesson of all of this is that we should hold dear to the open protocols and standards of the internet that are not owned by companies. And I'm a capitalist. I'm for advertising. I'm for supporting media and paying your salaries. I'm not against any of that. But the risk is that now if you're in a big media company, you're vulnerable. If you're in a big technology company, you're vulnerable. And so I think that the one last outlet for all of us is open source standards for connection on the internet.
I do want to ask a follow-up that on the internet. Do we risk, creating those algorithms where we remain in bubbles? I mean, the thing with broadcasting is that, we present both sides. We try to be fair. If you're following, a certain type of criticism or comedy, maybe you're not open to others. And broadcasts seem to be a little bit different than some of these podcasts where you're all in and then you're listening to the same thing and you hear an echo chamber.
So that's a common belief that the internet has resulted in filter bubbles and echo chambers, but there's research to the contrary. There's a book called Are Filter Bubbles Real by Axel Bruns that looks at the research that says that's not the case. There's research by a psychologist in Denmark named Michael Bang Petersen, who argues that the filter bubbles we have are the ones in our real lives. We move into communities with people like us. We join houses of worship and clubs with people like us. What the internet actually does is puncture those bubbles. It exposes people to people they don't like, or they fear, or they think are different or other. And it gives them the spitballs to go fire them. So I think it's the opposite effect of what you say, is the internet seems to bring out hostility in some cases, because it exposes some people to people that they had protected themselves from in sheltered communities, in bubbles in real life.
We were discussing before this interview the sort of bizarro world aspect of praising Charlie Kirk as a champion of free speech, then going after people who have speech that doesn't agree with Charlie Kirk's speech. What are your thoughts about that?
Right. There is some irony is pretty much dead, but there is some irony here in that you had Kristi Noem saying she was going to go after and attack hate speech. And then you have Ted Cruz saying, whoa there, Kristi, because he wants to be able to spout his own hate speech. Charlie Kirk said that hate speech is protected by the First Amendment. So I think what's going to happen here is that the Trump administration, through Kristi Noem, was going to try to label things they didn't like hate speech, but they're just going to abandon that tactic. They're still going to use their power and their muscle to do just what they did to Jimmy Kimmel and still cancel speech that disagrees with them across the culture. I mean, even consider this. Some of the best coverage I see of the fall of America into fascism is happening from German publications, Die Zeit, Der Spiegel. Well, now Trump this week has now argued that he's going to limit foreign journalists' visas to 240 days so that even international journalists can't cover what's happening here.
Do you think the public's appetite for highly political late night comedy has changed? And I'm thinking, you know, not only with the shows, you know, the stand up comedies, but, you know, think South Park, SNL, are these all game?
Are they game for Trump? Unfortunately, yes. Are they still popular with the public? Yes. Whether or not they're watched at the time, because broadcast TV is in trouble, the clips were watched like crazy on the socials. And I think that just look at the history of Colbert. He shifted CBS from third to first in late night. That was because he was doing overt political humor from the left. It was successful to the audience.
You know, I'm not talking here about the business part of this, the license part of this, or whether people get fired. But you can have much more extreme rhetoric on cable and some of the other systems. We're talking about Jimmy Kimmel's opinion of something, and another guy on cable talks about the homeless should be killed. And
right.
And we don't seem to think that those are equal issues.
Right. And of course, cable isn't under the same jurisdiction of the FCC, so that takes that out. But it also says much about far-right MAGA media, and that is Fox News, that you can get away with saying something so odious and abhorrent as saying that homeless people should just be killed, and that with a minor flush-off supposed apology, he gets to keep his job. It's disgusting, but so is Fox News and so is Rupert Murdoch's company. And look, too, at what happened recently with the settlement of the family in the Murdoch case, that Murdoch father and son, Rupert and Lachlan, are paying $3.3 billion to his Lachlan's siblings so that Lachlan can continue to control Fox News ideologically from the far right.
Just one final question. I want to ask about the on-air talent, because the networks, what do you make of the networks being so susceptible to political pressure that they're not willing to stand by their on-air talent?
That is the question of the day, of the year, of the age. Who has the cojones, the spine, the soul to stand up for this speech? ABC does not. CBS does not. Who will do that? I mean, I give Jimmy Kimmel tremendous credit and Stephen Colbert tremendous credit for having what was clearly courage to come out and say what they said, but they were not supported by their bosses. And I talked to someone in another company today, a reporter in another company, and asked just what the mood was there. And this journalist said, you know, I wish we'd heard speeches today about we're going to support you, but they didn't.
But many people are saying that the decision to pull Kimmel off the air isn't about free speech. It's about business and the declining advertising and viewership associated with late-night network television. Here's the Noon Business Hour on WBBM News Radio with more.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And there are so many different angles to this story that we can discuss, Tim. We could be here for an hour or more, but you and I both are governed by the clock, so we'll just talk about some of them. It began with the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Brendan Carr, on a podcast by a conservative influencer talking about how the licenses for some ABC affiliates could be in jeopardy because of comments that were made by Jimmy Kimmel during his monologue a couple of days ago. Then Nexstar Media Group, which owns Channel 9 in Chicago and a number of other stations across the country, elected to preempt the show primarily because they have a merger pending with another TV station group, Tegna, and they want to stay on the right side of the FCC as they usher that merger through. So, Tim, you know what's going on in the television business. Why would Nexstar and Tegna knuckle under to this influence, and why do they want to get this merger across the finish line sooner rather than later?
Well, look, I think you set the table very, very well. There's a lot of undercurrent to all this stuff that's been playing out. The reality is that Nexstar owns 32 affiliated stations with the ABC network. Sinclair, another large TV station group that is also part of this story, has 40. So combined, these are 72 ABC affiliated stations that the commissioner, in his quote-unquote wisdom, figured could be a lever to strong-arm the ABC network, of over which Carr and the FCC have no direct oversight. They have oversight, the FCC does, over the individual stations and their broadcast licenses. So for the uninitiated, that's kind of the mechanics, I guess, behind sort of what led to all of this. It's going through the, shall we say, weakest link, which is the owned and operated stations by these companies of Sinclair and Nexstar in particular, that essentially forced the issue when Nexstar first, and then aided and abetted by Sinclair, said, we're not going to run, we're going to preempt the Jimmy Kimmel program for all the issues that were extant. Now, the issue there, though, is you mentioned it correctly, that it is impossible to not see the through line between a pending merger that Nexstar has with another large group, that being Tegna, which by itself, as currently stands, the rules, is not possible. It's not legally permissible, given caps on ownership and reach of around the country. So it's clear that a company like Nexstar, and potentially Sinclair for other reasons, has, shall we say, business before the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, to get a certain deal or things done. And a convenient way to perhaps grease the skids for that, one would make the argument, is to say yes when an FCC commissioner calls for, if you will, a favor, albeit possibly, likely, legally dubious.
Now, at the end of the day, and very quickly, Tim, Jimmy Kimmel is going to be fine. Just like Howard Stern, just like Opie and Anthony, just like Bob Grant, just like George Carlin, any other personalities who have found themselves on the wrong side of content enforcement, they usually land at a place where their talents are appreciated. Satellite radio, HBO, and chances are Jimmy Kimmel's going to find that landing spot, along with Stephen Colbert. But doesn't this, at the end of the day, make network television and broadcast TV weaker, because it's just one less offering that keeps eyeballs on good old-fashioned TV?
I think you're correct, and I think the chilling effect that this potentially has going forward on anybody who's on the airwaves, whether it's news, comedy, sports, whatever, on broadcast television, whatever form, may not only think twice, but maybe be reticent to be on those airwaves versus other options.
Here's Chad Hartman from WCCO Radio with more.
Bill Carter has been kind enough to join us over the years a number of times. As I said before, no one has chronicled
late night TV like Bill Carter, including his four books, the definitive one for me, The Late Shift, 25 plus years with the New York Times as a television critic, still has a great involvement in what is going on. And obviously we're talking about a decision involving Nexstar, Tegna, ABC, FCC, Donald Trump, and Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, at this point, suspended indefinitely. As we bring Bill in the conversation, I know Kimmel's contract is up fairly soon. If you had to speculate today, Bill, and thank you very much for coming on, do you think Kimmel ever goes back on his show? Does his show return?
Boy, it's a tough one. it's crazy that we're in this position. I think ABC's and Disney is in a box. And if I were to put myself in their position, I would say I think you got to try. I think you got to try to get him back on the air. Otherwise, you look like you just folded and gave up. And I think the only thing I would suggest, if they ask me, is that they lay low for a while. Maybe he's not on for a couple of weeks. And then you cut him back on. And if the other stations don't carry him, they don't carry him. And you go with whatever you have, your stations and however many others you have, and you put them on Hulu, and you ride out the end of his contract. I think that would be the right thing to do rather than to look like you capitulated to this kind of pressure.
Didn't they already do that? Didn't they already fold and capitulate?
They did. They last night they did because they were under great duress time-wise. But they now have a decision to make. You know, Kimmel was about to go on the air last night and probably would have made a comment about this, some kind of conciliatory comment. But they decided they couldn't really do this, or there was some unhappiness about how that was going to go down. I don't think Jimmy wanted to look too apologetic. It was very hard to do on the fly. I think they have to come up with something. Their lawyers are probably talking to them. I think it's extremely complicated with all the other business that Disney does. But I also think that Disney's largely to blame because they caved over the George Stephanopoulos issue on Good Morning America. And when they did that, they told Trump, you can be the bully all you want because we'll never stand up to you. And so this occasion comes up, and now they're in the box because they didn't stand up the first time.
So as you know well, and I'll just remind the audience, so much of this is tied to this business transaction, which is in front of the FCC. And if it's in front of the FCC, it's in front of the president. This is Nexstar trying to buy one of their rivals, Tegna. This would put them at about 39-40% of clearance across the country, which right now is not allowed. So they need the FCC's approval. Let's say Bob Iger, because in the end, he's the head of Disney. He ran it very successfully, left, then came back. Let's say Iger would have said to Nexstar and Tegna, who carry their stations across the country, would have said, nope, we're not going to do it. Yep. Kimmel's on tonight. You make your decision. What would have happened?
He would have had a lot of stations that didn't carry him, for sure. They would have had a mess with give backs to advertisers or whatever. And they would have had to deal with the FCC coming after their licenses for non-compliance. You heard what the FCC guy said.
Yep.
We can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. Well,
think about it. Can I just stop in there? Think about that. The FCC, the head, is threatening these companies with the easy or hard way with the full power of the federal government behind them. That is staggering.
Yeah, it's like a mafioso with the government behind them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Really, it does sound like that. So, I mean, that's what they face, and they still continue to face it. I think they wanted to take a pause if they could, but the pause has just caused an incredible, obviously, firestorm of attention onto this. They're in a position where if they make the decision to put them back on, the government will go after them in any way they can. They have to fight. They have to fight that. That's what they have to do. That's what they have lawyers for. If they cave, then I think the entire creative community says, well, why should we bring a project to Disney? They will never protect us. And that's a big dilemma for them. That's a big dilemma for them going forward.
Okay. You've been chronicling late night since the 80s, okay? And you've watched a lot of controversies. You've watched a lot of comments where well-established comedians, if they're going to work edgy, at times cross the line, right? And yep. then how does the public react? How do they react? How do their how does the business react? Do you think Kimmel, with his comments, crossed the line?
Absolutely not. 1,000 times, no. The whole thing is just them saying he somehow insulted or demeaned Charlie Kirk. He didn't do anything to Charlie Kirk. He made a comment about the shooter and what was being said about the shooter. Nothing about Charlie Kirk, nothing about Charlie Kirk's policies or statements or anything like that. And then he made a joke about Trump. That's what they're really upset about, that they somehow did something offensive because he made that joke.
That's it.
In isolation, there is nothing, absolutely nothing over the line here. Zero. And really, I know for a fact that Jimmy was really surprised and taken aback by this, because I think he thought that was a basically bland thing he was saying, not a you know, incendiary thing.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk was this free speech absolutist and would go all these places. Mm-hmm. And the idea, and again, Kirk and Kimmel would have agreed 1 out of every 100 times on issues. But the idea that Charlie Kirk was for shutting down folks who don't agree with his views is the opposite of what he was doing to mainly liberal campuses when he was engaging in the byplay back and forth.
That's absolutely right. But they have made him sort of an icon of their positions now. He's basically a martyr. They've made him a martyr.
Correct.
And so anybody who says anything that can be considered somehow, you know, a slur against the martyr is being attacked with the full effort of the government. But frankly, all of this is a pretense. It's just a pretense. They were gunning for Jimmy Kimmel. They've been gunning for the guy. Trump hates the guy, and he basically put this guy on him to say, you know, go after him. And he already said openly he should be canceled for no
Correct.
Reason before.
He's not hiding it.
They're not hiding it. He's basically said, I'm going to get this guy, and yep. if you don't agree, I'm going to damage your business. I'm going to damage your investors. I'm going to damage you. I mean, this is a complete reversal of what our government is supposed to be doing. We have a government that is supposed to not interfere this way in either people's private business or obviously their speech.
This is Bill Carter. He's excellent on this topic. You can hear it. You don't have to agree. This is exactly right. Like when the president again is asked about it today in the UK and he talks about ratings, give me a break. There is Truth Social tweet after tweet where he's gunning for him, going after him, and even late night, last night, he basically said NBC, not basically,
yes.
he said it, NBC, you're next. And
yes.
he mentions the two hosts. You know.
Alan and Myers, yes.
Yeah, you
yes.
know SNL is next.
And
SNL.
Of course.
And
if he gets, if NBC concedes, if NBC concedes, then why would they protect SNL? It's just one step
right.
after another. I don't think NBC will. NBC is in a different position, I think, because they are the network of late night. They created it. They've had the leading lights in it. They have Saturday Night Live. It's so much a part of their identity. If they caved, the whole business might as well just have a government stamp on it. Yes,
so I'm just not going to be surprised
but
if NBC.
Somebody has to say no.
Yeah.
Somebody has to say no. I think Iger has a chance. He has a chance to say, okay, I'm going to make an accommodation of sorts here, but I am not doing what they want. I will not be bullied. He has a chance to do that. He should have done it with Stephanopoulos.
Yep.
If he doesn't do it, then his legacy, his reputation, which is a very good one as a business leader and as a really a creative CEO, will be tarnished forever, will be ruined. I really think they have to say, we're not going to just roll it. We'll find some accommodation, but we're not going to do what you say because you're not the king. That's the reason the First Amendment was first.
Right.
Because it's the one that's the most important. You do not get to tell us what we can think or what we can say. And that's what this is about.
But to act like this was a business just acting independently and they just made this decision on their own is absurd.
It's absurd. It's absurd. This decision was forced on them. And if they do resist, they will be subject to more pressure and their own stations will have their licenses challenged. If ABC fights that, they'll win because there is no basis to take their license away. Licenses are very, very rarely taken away for extreme malfeasance. This will never fly, but they'll have to fight like devils to keep it from consuming them. And the reason that people cave is they don't want the fight. They don't want the fight.
Yep.
But eventually, the fight comes to you.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.